from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, in chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, continuing through the remainder of this book. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We celebrate this day every year in the life of our church as the baptism of the Lord, a sacred day set apart for itself to commemorate this experience, this flowing of the Holy Spirit into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It must be a statement from the forebearers in our faith that this day must be noticed. We should embrace anew our commitment and strive in every way we can to grow our understanding of this holy gift called baptism. A gift that our Lord Jesus thought was so important to us that he experienced it as well. You know, isn't it one thing for us preacher types to preach about something, but it's a whole other event when we practice what we preach? You know, I shared with you some. At once I was doing a confirmation class, and little Clay Hopper, I would call him. That's not his last name, but he's more Hopper than he is Adams, I would say. Little Clay Hopper Adams, what about that? He asked me once, he said, "Brother Jody, do you practice what you preach?" And I thought, boy, that's a very profound theological question there, Clay. Do I practice? What do I really embody? Do I live outside of myself? Am I being the hands and feet of Jesus? Am I being an example? Am I leading? And I went into all this mantra, and Clay said, "No, I just meant, do you get in front of the mirror and do you practice before you preach?" It's one thing to preach it, isn't it? But it's another to practice it. Well, friends, Jesus said to us, by his actions, by his practice in this text today, "I don't want to just preach about baptism. I want you to see that I embody it. And just as I receive this gift, church, I want you to have this gift." You see, baptism, that's what it is. It is a gift from Almighty God for us as his children. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if we're not careful, we can get a little puffed up about our baptism. We can make it something that we deserve or something we accomplished because we took the step of faith. But really, it begins not in what we're doing, but in what's been done for us. That's all baptism is. It's a celebration of what God has done for us, not what we're doing to God. It's our Lord's claim that we're his children. It, once again, is a gift. You know, our Lord Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John. He spoke of life in this way. Some of us are familiar, where he spoke of the new birth found in our Lord, unless, as he spoke to Nicodemus, unless we become like a child, right? and be born again, we cannot have life through our Lord. If Jesus said that our faith experience is like that, if salvation is like being born, well, then that tells me I don't have a whole lot to do with my salvation, doesn't it, you? Sweet little Elizabeth sitting back there, I can't believe how much she's grown in just this short time. But that little girl, it didn't come to her one day a few years ago that she wanted to be born. No, it was a gift. She was given. That's what birth is. We are gifted with life. Well, if Jesus used that analogy to say, not only do we experience our first life that way, but friends, we experience our second life that way. It is a gift. Salvation is only a treasure that we claim and never earn or deserve. And that's what baptism affirms to us all the more. The waters that say our sins have been washed away. The waters that affirm to us, Ken, every day as we come in contact with it, of the newness of day, of the life-giving source as we take it into our body. It reminds us that our very life in God is that same precious gift. That's what we celebrate this day in baptism, and may we celebrate every day that gift of Almighty God. And as we consider even further today in this text, there are some special messages in the words that we hear written here by Matthew, the gospel writer. He says in verse 16, when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up out of the water, suddenly the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and it alighted upon him. You see, those words remind us that the gift of God's love is suddenly. It's without merit. We don't deserve it. And it comes to us when God pours out His Spirit in baptism. It's a reminder that we are His now and forever. And it says to us in this gift, as he continues there in verse 17, the writer says, a voice came from heaven, and this is what Jesus heard. This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I'm well pleased. Friends, in baptism, not only was Jesus claimed as God's Son, but hear this with me. In baptism, you were claimed as his daughter. You, dear soul, were claimed as his son. God looked upon us as his very precious children with whom he was pleased. Wow. How could God be pleased with us? How could God look upon us knowing that we would be people of failure, people who would stray from the faith, people who would sin, people who would do things we wish we'd not done, and people who failed to do the things we know we should do? How could God look upon us and be pleased? Well, you see, through the love of a Savior, God conquered all of our shortcomings and celebrates that gift in our very own personal baptism. You see, baptism being a gift not that we asked for, but a gift that we receive. You see, that's not what instigates our baptism. is our decision to be a member of the church, our decision to embrace the faith. Think about it like this. As a husband or wife, if you have to ask for a gift, is it really a gift? I mean, wives, is it really special when you have to say to the husband, now don't forget, you need to get me a gift for our wedding anniversary? No, if that knucklehead can't remember to get you a gift, then that takes away much of the joy of what you're receiving, right? A true gift is spontaneous. It's not dependent upon the receiver, right? It's all about the giver. That's what a gift is. And God says to us, our baptism is a gift. Or our life in Christ is a gift. Or our salvation at our heavenly home is not contingent upon our request, but first and foremost, it's God's grace and love for us. Sure, we're given an opportunity to claim that gift. We, like any gift recipient, can say, no, I don't want that gift. You can pass that one on. I'm going to return that one. But who would do such? When we have the opportunity to be gifted with God's love eternally, when we receive the words of life and the Spirit comes upon us, we are excited to receive and share in God's gift, claiming us as His children. But it always starts with God, the giver, and us, simply the receiver. That's the good news of our faith. You know, I'm convinced more and more, friends, that there is message at the beginning of our faith journey in baptism. Here's what I mean in this text today. So often we as Christian people, or we as the church, we see that our call to faith, to be disciples, is about loving others, and that it is. It's about loving God, and that it is. But friends, as I wrestle with this text today, and I try to make sense of the miracle of baptism, you know what I'm seeing more and more? That our faith response doesn't begin with us loving others. Our first response of faith is not even us loving God. I'm believing more and more the first response of our faith is simply realizing God's love for us. It all starts there. You see, we can't love God unless we know we were first loved by Him. We can't seek to love and serve our Lord's people unless we realize we've been loved by our eternal Father. We can't love, in the words of Fred Rogers, the great Presbyterian minister of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, unless we've first been loved. Dear church, this is the day we celebrate our Lord's baptism and the holy message of heaven that proclaimed to Him, and that we receive ourselves in baptism. You are my child, and with you I am well pleased. May we celebrate God's love this day and forever. Amen. As those who are loved by God and